Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
So, you know, like, so, these past 4 weeks of wrestling, like, literally since SummerSlam. And, like, we had two really bad weeks, and then one actually pretty good week.
Yeah.
But we got, I kind of poo-pooed on the product anyway.
Right.
Last podcast.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to. I don't feel bad about that.
Yeah, because it was, like, the one time we had a decent show.
Decent show, fun stuff.
But we still crapped all over it.
Yeah. It just came out that way. I didn't mean to that.
Right.
But I'm gonna crap all over your product again today.
Okay. Alright.
No, just like collectively, the past 4 weeks of wrestling, of WWE content on their flagship show, has been atrocious.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes down to, it comes down to, at the opening moment of the show, John Cena cutting this promo on Paul Heyman. And there's already this, like, he's a manager who is an established entity in the wrestling world that does not get involved, technically.
Right.
He has done nothing to John Cena. John Cena lost cleanly.
Yeah.
Terribly cleanly to Brock Lesnar. So there's all sorts of, like, heel tactics that John Cena's doing, threatening to assault Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
But that's par for the course. We're not even going to worry about that.
Right, yeah.
Then John Cena says, he says, last week I gave you 24 hours to bring in Brock Lesnar. Which doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
So, hilarious mishap on John Cena trying to cut a promo.
Right.
Oh, that's funny. And then later John Cena says, you have until halftime to produce Brock Lesnar. Hilarious mishap again. John Cena really can't cut it this week.
Yeah, because it was like, what, 10?
But no. What John Cena meant, and what it was they waited until halftime
of the game
of the game football to have the main event of Raw happen.
Yeah,
which is why Mark Henry rallies the troops, ended the show.
Yeah,
because the main event happened at
during halftime,
10 o'clock during halftime, which I'm so befuddled and frustrated.
It's them desperately grasping for viewerships.
Trying
to get people like, oh, hey, something's happening on Raw during halftime. I'm not going to miss anything. Might as well go over there.
I don't care. It's
right.
It is acknowledging the competition, and make no mistake, Monday Night Football is your competition.
Yeah.
Anything that is on from 8 to 11 is your competition.
Right.
This isn't, I mean, you know, the Monday Night Wars aren't over.
Right.
Because you're not winning Monday night. You beat WCW, but you're not winning Monday night.
No.
So Monday Night Football is your main competition.
Yeah.
And you gave every viewer a free pass to watch the football game without any concern that they might be missing something on Raw.
And again, it's the Colts and the Eagles, so who cares?
You buried every single feud that wasn't John Cena related.
Yeah.
Both before and after that segment.
Yeah.
And because beyond that, you had the John Cena segment, and then you followed it with the Cameron and Naomi segment.
Yeah.
So there was a perfect opportunity for somebody to click back over and say, oh, the football game is over. No reason to ever go back to Raw.
Yeah.
And this is a short-sighted, like, desperate grab for a handful of extra viewers during a 15-minute segment.
Yeah.
That you will continue to use to point at and say, John Cena still brings in the highest numbers because you adjust the structure of your show on the fly
to cater to
a live football game airing on another channel.
Right.
This is short-sighted. This is giving up. This is not trying to compete in any way with the product of Monday Night Football.
Competing would have been them kind of planning out exactly when the third quarter was going to start and then have the, your big moment that you've been advertising.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do it like that. Then lead in with something compelling so people don't, you know, so people are already tuned in.
This is...
It's tent pulling 101.
This is literally everything. You've created an entire show on your network called The Monday Night War that laundry lists the problems that WCW had in management and creative, and you are doing exactly that.
Yeah. If only football was recorded a couple weeks earlier, they can give away the results.
They wouldn't. Like, this, it's what they would do.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, can you imagine, you know, somebody in somebody opening up a WWF product in the Attitude Era and be like, the best part of our show is going to happen when WCW isn't even on anymore. So go watch that show and not worry about missing anything, and then come back to our show.
Right.
Which is what John Cena did.
Yeah.
So it's giving up.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that, just move to Tuesday or whatever.
Yeah, just throw in the towel.
You're throwing in the towel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and those are things, like, we didn't watch the football game on Monday.
No.
Colts and Eagles, whatever. And I like football.
Yeah.
And when, you know, specific teams play on Monday, I might flip channel.
Yeah, but the beauty of this day and age is ESPN streams all their NFL games on their website. So you can presumably watch both.
Yeah.
As long as you have some sort of, you know, cable subscription or whatever that you can log into.
Yeah.
But essentially, there are ways to watch everything you want, you know? But I realize that not everyone sees it that way, so people are going to, you know, choose one or the other or DVR the other or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. This is
It's things like
I agree. It's incredibly short-sighted.
And I didn't even notice that it was like I assumed it was John Cena grasping at words because he didn't have a scripted memorized promo, which is fine. Yeah. Like I like the off the cuff promos,
right?
With the general idea and theme, go out and speak.
But the fact that he kept using the term halftime.
Well, like I didn't know until I got home after Raw.
Yeah,
and realized that the Brock Lesnar segment coordinated with.
Mm-hmm.
Actual halftime, and realized what they had done.
Yeah,
and I was flabbergasted as to.
So it's basically like what they were trying to do with the whole it's the series premiere thing last week.
Yes,
you know, just trying to do something for that one week.
Yes,
you know, and this time it was the halftime thing. I even get
the argument that. You know, what you're trying to do is you're trying to sell Night of Champions, and you're trying to sell the network
mm-hmm.
with Night of Champions. And so, if people are only going to see one segment, what, you know, you want the segment that will garner the most, which is the WWE Championship, which, as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you want that when you will have the most eyes already on your product.
Yeah.
But... That I don't know, and we're gonna spill into every problem that I have with WWE creative and management structure because Raw cannot just be an advertisement for pay per views or the network,
right?
Like I get that it is, I get that a big chunk of it is,
mm-hmm.
and even a greater offender is SmackDown is an advertisement
for everything else.
I mean, when Superstars was on, you know. Television, they would have Superstars the main event would have maybe one or two matches,
yeah,
and then just replays and recaps and video package previews of other things,
yeah.
But Raw is a 3-hour show, and it cannot be 3 hours of advertisement
mm-hmm.
for other products that you have because you have to. I feel like we complained. A couple years ago, when wrestling became a bad word and wrestler and the belt became superstars and sports entertainment, and my feeling of that was it was this thing where WWE felt ashamed that they wanted that they were a wrestling company because mm-hmm. that was at the same time where WWE stopped technically standing for World Wrestling Entertainment. It just was WWE. Like, KFC is just KFC now.
Right.
Because they also do potatoes and whatever. And, like, Triple H, this is Triple H's metaphor, not mine.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, we do all sorts of things, movies and TV shows and card games and stuff. So WWE is a brand. Wrestling is not in our name anymore. And, you know, Vince was very fixated on, you know, superstars being in movies and stuff. And it was like, and it looked like, you know, they were an entertainment company that was ashamed that their biggest form of entertainment was wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's hard enough to be a wrestling fan.
Right.
Like, so they want my main company to kind of stand behind me.
Right.
In that. But you're making a TV show. You're making an episodic TV show with plot and character and overarching themes. And to chuck all that away to make it an advertisement, that's why you're losing.
Yeah.
Okay? Wrestling should be able to beat football, I feel. Like, not this week, not next week. Maybe not for several years. Mm-hmm. But football is on Thursday, Sunday, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
With other games scattered in there. And if you just want football, you have college football and everything.
Right.
You should be able to go with a sports program, with a sports-based program catering towards a similar audience.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to go toe-to-toe with that.
Yeah.
And because you're not, and because you struggle, you're panicking, you're doing short-sighted gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that, again, you constantly, constantly say this is why WCW failed. You gleefully point out what WCW did wrong.
Right.
And you're doing the exact same thing. You're catering to safe bets of old established superstars in boring, repetitive storylines with quick weekly gimmicks that do not remain consistent from week to week.
With little to no payoff.
Exactly.
Mm.
It's literally watching the later years of WCW.
Yeah.
And so you can't.
Mm.
And I don't know, I'm just like, I don't know, I feel like I'm ranting in circles right now.
Yeah.
But I was just, it felt like the whole night felt off. Mm-hmm. With, you know, because when they started the Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins match, which ended in a clean finish, by the way.
Right. Before their, you know, pay-per-view match, which is basically now just kind of a rematch.
Which is a singles match, a feud, no title on the line at Night of Champions. Right. Where everything, you know, that's all the show's about is titles being on the line. There's no title on the line, it's just a feud match. Grudge match within a singles match. So, yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah.
And so, but I assume that was the main event when it started.
Yeah,
I assume they cut Mark Henry rallies the troops for time, or...
Yeah.
Honestly, we have a segment called Mark Henry rallies the troops. Let's pretend that didn't happen.
And, you know, full disclosure, our cable went out for, like, majority of the night. So there was a good chunk of Raw that we just didn't see.
Yeah.
Right at the moment. So I just assumed that they had already gone through
that. Well, by the time the cable came back, they advertised it was coming up later in the night. Right.
And then by the time we got to Reigns and Seth Rollins, I just assumed, oh, hey, these guys have been closing out Raw for, like, the past few weeks. This is probably the end of it. And I just completely forgot about Rusev and Henry.
Yeah. So, but, like, so it Raw felt weird and off. Yeah. And guys, there's Stan Lee has a saying, or had a saying at one point. Stan Lee makes comics, by the way. If you don't know that. When he was writing comics, he would tell writers, you need to write comics in a manner that every comic is somebody's first comic. Because it is. Because every comic is somebody's first comic. And so, you'll see it, you know, it's not like, here's an origin story recap or everything, but like, every, you know, Spider-Man comic says somehow, like, squeezes in the great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, just like, here's basic character feeling on life. Every Daredevil comic goes, and Daredevil's amazing, even though he's blind.
Yeah.
Just, you know, so that's there in every comic, just to give readers a backstory and a recap. And the wrestling is the same way, that every wrestling show is theoretically somebody's first wrestling show.
Mm.
And I'll, you know, I specifically remember having, you know, enjoyed wrestling as a kid. And by and large, enjoyed the concept of wrestling and people talking about wrestling. Because I saw it very sporadically.
Yeah.
Not being allowed in my house and, you know, and just in talking about it. And then all the wrestling is fake and dangerous and da-da-da-da-da-da. That's like propaganda of the dangers of wrestling.
Right.
Which, yeah, I mean, propaganda is used as a bad word, but maybe to fourth graders watching, you know, some of the more raunchier parts of the Attitude Era.
Probably a bad idea.
Yeah, maybe go ahead and be like, that's fake, and don't, you know, watch it later when you understand. And it's kind of, it's trash television anyway. Like, I don't want my kids watching Howard Stern or Jerry Springer either.
Right.
So, but yeah, so I was like, no, wrestling's boo, and I was a foolish child. And then one day in, like, high school, it was on. I was like, let me see if, you know, I actually like it. And it was a Divas match. And it was like this girl, I don't know who it was, because I didn't know who was on at the time.
Right.
But this girl was kicking this other girl down to the ring and whiffed on, like, 3 out of the 4 kicks. And the girl just, like, rolled down to the ring on these magic whiff kicks. And I was like, no, wrestling sucks, and I was the fool to ever like it. Off the channel goes.
Right.
So that happens. And I cannot fathom a single person watching wrestling in the past 4 weeks and ever wanting to watch again.
Right.
And this comes after SummerSlam happened.
Yeah.
And Paul Revere would ride through the streets being like, now is the time to turn back onto Raw, watch wrestling, for the death of Super Cena has happened by German suplex. Watch it one and all.
I didn't know Paul Revere was such a wrestling fan.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is the time I could champion this niche, weird product that I liked to people.
Yeah.
Confidently. And now I can't. Now I'm back in my shell of, like, I like wrestling, but as a joke, haha, it's funny to watch.
Yeah, dude, you have a podcast.
No, I know.
You can't really pull that off.
But the people don't know then.
Kind of do.
You know what I mean.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just, it's so disheartening, even with the fun stuff that happened last week. Though it was fun and goofy and exciting, but I don't know, you're complacent.
Yeah.
You're complacent in where you are as a deep second fiddle to Monday Night Football.
Mm.
And to be fair, this is not just a wrestling problem. The Emmys moved this year in order to not compete with football. To not compete with the NFL preseason.
Wow. Okay.
So this is a entertainment or industry-wide problem of a fear of this NFL football giant. Which, again, I understand. Wrestling should be, it is a sensationalized thing. I watch UFC, and I see plenty of bad UFC matches. And not bad that, you know, I see just one guy dominate somebody and destroy them. And it's a boring match to watch. Or I see a just, you know, a competitive hugging style match.
Yeah.
And wrestling is the same, you know, people fight each other concept. But it's over the top and sensationalized. And if I saw a UFC match with what happened in WWE, it'd be an amazing UFC match.
Right.
These guys are flipping and jumping, and what is this?
They
lose, because it's not how you win in UFC.
No.
But whatever. So wrestling, try.
Yeah.
And then that's what I feel like I've said every week, is try something. And you're going further and further away from trying something. You are catering your product around the risk of any accidental you know, excitement.
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like I've talked this whole podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just been, like, it's been weighing on my chest.
I'm sorry.
For, like, hours now. So I just gotta get that off of my chest. How do you feel about wrestling, Chris?
I like wrestling. Wrestling is fun. Not so much right now, but wrestling is fun.
I mean, am I wrong?
No. You're not off base at all. It's, I pretty much felt the same way about the whole Cena halftime thing. You know, that was like at one point we're like, oh, well, you know, good on WWE for trying to make the best out of a situation. But then I'm like, I had your thought. I'm just like, wait a minute. This is lazy. This is incredibly lazy. Because what you want to do is... okay, maybe it wouldn't have been so bad if they had the Cena thing at halftime and then had something compelling afterwards.
Yes.
Because like you said, like I said earlier, it's tentpole 101. You use one segment or one show or one block, whatever, to get everyone in. And then you have something next to it that's probably a bit of a risk, but it's still, you still believe in it. It's still going to be entertaining to hopefully carry people. And then right after that, something that you know people will tune in for.
Yeah.
So they kind of, like that segment, they kind of carry through. Now, whenever you have this big moment and you follow it up with Cameron and Naomi and Cameron trying to pin Naomi on her stomach.
I hope that was an intentional thing.
I don't think it was,
but that's how I sleep at night right now.
So when you follow this big moment that you have planned out with a Cameron and Naomi match, that's like setting that entire tent on fire.
Yeah.
And then leaving all the women and children inside. But again, Cameron tried to pin Naomi on her freaking stomach and demanded the ref count. And the ref was like, I can't.
That's why I hope it was an intentional, like, character choice for Cameron. Like, that's like, no. Cameron confused, no, about wrestling. No. Like, play into that Melina versus Alicia Fox. Stone Cold doing the, I don't even know what to do with my hands.
Actually, what's movement. Funny, have you seen the gif of, they cut that together, like, her trying to pin her and then demanding the ref. Then it cuts to Stone Cold on Tough Enough after she had told him what her favorite match was, and he was just...
No, I remember that. Like, Stone Cold, like he
they
starts
cut that together, put it in a gif.
That's
amazing.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah,
like he just starts walking. He's like, "No, I can't. No, I still don't have the words."
Don't, and you can't blame Steve Austin. He kicked her off the show first chance he could.
He did.
So it's not his fault.
He did. I don't
blame Tough Enough for even introducing her to this business.
Yes. You're right. It's still, they could have saved it. Like, if you do know that, if you do want to make, because that's not the worst thought process, is no. Halftime is when people will channel flip.
Yeah.
Let's get them to land on this.
Yeah.
But then you time it where, like, you do a 10, that's halftime, 15 minutes?
I believe so, yes.
I'm making that up.
Around that time.
For the sake of the argument, halftime is 15 minutes. So you start, you know, the second you get, like, you see that clock going, counting down on the game. Mm-hmm. You're getting at it at halftime. You kick off a 10 to 12 minute segment that people will have to stay on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have another 10 to 12 minute segment starting so that they are into the game.
Right.
So they are missing game now.
Right.
And that's what you fight.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, this was a game you could have fought.
Yeah.
Like, no, there are other games.
Yeah.
And you're a global phenomenon. Do you know how confusing and frustrating and insulting it must be to be a British fan? Mm-hmm. To know that what you're watching, what you're staying up late to watch or whatever, watching at a weird time,
yeah,
is catering to a sport that you don't care about.
Yeah.
That your entire country doesn't care about.
I don't know. NFL Europe was a thing for a little while. I mean, yeah, they went under, but that's besides the point.
Seven people in Europe.
I think they're still technically American football. Or American style football.
I mean, there is.
Teams in
there Europe. Is, but like, do you think Who do you think has more fans in this day and age, NFL, Europe, or XFL?
I don't know, because you're going to get a lot of WWE/football hipster fans.
No, I fully admit, like, if they announce, like, FXL, it's coming back. This one, like, I'm down. Let's watch XFL.
Oh, funny thing, just random side note. NXT TakeOver Fatal 4-Way was this past Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Bull Dempsey had, like, a logo on the back, and then it had, I think Bull next to it. Apparently, that is the logo for one of the XFL teams.
Really?
According to a certain person, or a few people on Reddit.
They save everything.
Right? You have the trademark one as well.
No, there was like one point where there was, it was like maybe a year ago, there was a backstage segment where, it was Del Rio fighting somebody backstage, and Del Rio fell into some boxes, and they had like XFL tags on them. Just because they needed some backstage boxes for him to knock into, and that's what they had lying around.
Nice.
So...
at least they're resourceful, I guess.
I mean, they save everything. Like McGillicuddy music coming out.
The McGillicuddy banner for Christian. And at that point, McGillicuddy had been gone for at least
He was
2-3 years. He had just come back as Curtis Axel like 2 weeks before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, should we talk about Night of Champions?
Yeah, Night of Champions is happening. Do I need to do my annual...
If you feel led to it. Because I'm honestly surprised that you haven't done your Night of Champions rant as it was. Then again, you're also excited about Night of Champions until...
Until this week.
Yeah.
And I have a rant. The Night of Champions rant basically consists of... The gimmick of Night of Champions is dumb because it says that all championships are up for grabs.
Which is pretty much other pay-per-view.
Every other pay-per-view, all champs are up for grabs, unless they're not important, you know, unless they're like...
There's no storyline. Yeah.
So, all they're guaranteeing at this at Night of Champions is that titles that have no storyline and I'm not really invested in are still going to have matches because they have to do everything. That's the general consensus of the Night of Champions rank.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I'm pretty big on Night of Champions... Just because the card is really exciting.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised. I don't know what they're going to do if they're going to make Brock Lesnar challenge every month. If Brock Lesnar is going to have to defend his title every month.
Right.
Maybe, maybe not. But, you know, because he's not on the show every week, it still feels a little like, yeah, Brock Lesnar's coming back now.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like... I'm not as grumbly about Brock Lesnar being champion as I was about Rock being champion.
Right.
Just because, like, I don't know, and there's no excuse for it.
Right.
But it's like, if I feel like The Rock was didn't care about us and was doing other stuff, which is true. And if it was
whereas Lesnar, like, doesn't care about us. But he doesn't really do anything else.
I know. Somehow that makes it better to me.
He goes hunting in his cabin, and that's about it.
There's, like, I don't know. It's like, there's no... I think it's because it feels like if they need Brock Lesnar to come back, he'll come back. If they need The Rock to come back, they have to work around G.I. Joe Insubordination 3 to scheduling.
Please tell me that's a real thing. That title.
Sure.
All right, fair enough. So I guess we should
jump in the card.
Let's start with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Roman Reigns has to win. Yeah,
everything they've shown me, Roman Reigns has to win because he won cleanly the week before.
And we're assuming that we're going to get Dean Ambrose running.
Yeah,
because he's supposed to be coming back soon.
Yeah,
I think local places for next week's Monday Night Raw have him advertise the comeback or whatever.
Well, like, I mean, the only other thing I could think is if Dean Ambrose is going to turn heel on Roman Reigns.
Nah, I don't see
but
that.
But, like, I think...
He had too much going for him
he was a good face and got behind him face. And he's got a movie coming out, so they kind of want him... They don't want to do that Miz thing where he had to be... They turned him heel, then they had to turn him face for another week.
Yeah.
So he could advertise his movie so they could turn him heel again.
Right.
So yeah, Roman Reigns, it has to. Official.
Yeah. Thing. I mean, it's probably going to be a good match, but we've already seen it.
I give this 1 star because I'm mad at it.
One math, sure. Just not because it's going to be a bad match, but because...
No. You showed me the match.
You gave the match away for free this week.
Yes.
Didn't even have to pay $99 for that thing.
Yeah.
Come on. All right, so Chris Jericho, Randy Orton. And we should say that the kickoff will be essentially a talk show. The Christian Peep Show with Chris Jericho, apparently.
They basically do that now. The kickoff is less and less becoming any sort of match. It's just a kind of kickoff thing.
Right.
I'm looking forward to this match because I am, because it's Chris Jericho, and oh yes, Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
And Randy Orton does good against people who do good.
Right.
Like, Randy Orton is one of the most, it depends on who he's fighting, wrestlers. And so, I think he'll do good against Chris Jericho.
Yeah. And from what we can tell, this is probably going to be Jericho's last match in his current run.
Yeah. So, I go Randy Orton because of that.
Yeah. Same here.
So, also, the Authority needs a win.
Yeah, Randy Orton's pretty much lost everything lately. So, sure, Randy Orton gets a win. I'm going to give it 3.5 maths predictions. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
So, got Usos versus Goldstar. For the Tag Team Championship.
Yeah. I am confused as to who is supposed to be heel.
Goldstar is supposed to be heel.
Are they? Because they're not doing a good job.
To getting you to boo?
No, like just in general. Like,
I mean, they're doing a little bit more heel stuff.
I mean, they kind of did the heel stuff at the beginning, but then they're like, oh, we're sorry about what we did. And the Usos are like, no, we're not going to shake hands, and then attacked them.
Yeah.
And like, that's not, I mean, and this isn't even like John Cena problems of like, you know, doing not a face stuff. This is like really like, you could go either way here.
Right.
So, I'm kind of going to give it to the Usos because this feels like the championship's only on the line because the championship has to be on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not ready to take it off of the Usos yet. Also, I think we are suspecting Ascension's going to ascend pretty soon to...
I hate you so much. And I hate Ascension as well.
I know you hate Ascension.
I can't. Nope. Mm-mm.
But I am shocked that no commentator has made that joke. Unless they did on SmackDown, which I didn't watch.
Well, just wait for them to get on Raw. For them to debut. And absolutely no Lawler will say it.
I think we should have an over-under on if they're going to say Ascension has ascended to Raw.
And who's going to say it?
You think it's an all but guaranteed somebody's going to say it?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be JBL.
I think it's going to be Lawler.
I'll go Michael Cole, because I think they're heels, and I think Lawler would be sad that they're there in character.
I guess.
So, I'll go Cole, you go Lawler, we'll see.
Okay.
And JBL being this wild outlier.
And watch it be JBL. Yeah. I'm thinking Goldstar.
All right.
I'm thinking they're going to get it. But it's going to be a good match.
Yeah.
I'll give it 3.
Okay.
Mark Henry, Rusev. Apparently America versus Russia.
Yeah.
So, in case you didn't know, we're in a war right now, apparently. Apparently we're all supposed to be fighting Russia Sunday night. Hope you didn't have plans. And maybe pack an extra pair of underwear.
I mean, that would be nice if all wars were decided without. You send your best guy, we'll send our best guy.
Right, like...
Gentleman's agreement.
According to every, like, you know... like... battle... mythological... movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently all battles were solved by one guy versus one guy.
Yeah.
You know? That was apparently with the whole Thor thing in the most recent one. The big rock dude came out and he just crushed him. Game over. Happened in,
David and Goliath? The Bible?
Well, yeah, the Bible. I was thinking movies, but okay. Apparently happened in Troy.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a pretty common thing.
Yeah.
The champion. Happened in Game of Thrones.
What are you talking about?
In the fourth season of Game of Thrones. The champion came out to challenge the Khaleesi.
Oh, yeah.
It's a thing.
Okay,
it happens all the time.
You're right. I was thinking of the mountain versus the other dude.
Oh, no.
That was a different
No, thing. That's Trial by Combat.
Yeah.
It's a completely different thing.
I know.
Try and keep up.
Who
do you think's going to win? Mark Henry and Rusev.
Rusev.
You think Rusev's going to take it to the
top? I think they're going to keep it until WrestleMania.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Rusev's going to win till WrestleMania.
All right.
This whole thing is going to be a big Jack Swagger redemption story. Watch. Just you watch.
You think... Okay, that was going to be my next question, is if you think it's going to WrestleMania, who do you think is going to take down Russia in WrestleMania?
The guy who's still carrying a freaking American flag with him to the ring. That'll be Jack Swagger.
Do you think Rusev's going to continue to climb the ladder, though?
Like,
Mark Henry is one of those kind of, like, goes-in-betweeners between mid-card and main event.
Yeah. I think Rusev is going to continue to climb. He's not going to get there yet. And I think right when he's about to get there is when Jack Swagger makes his move.
Okay.
And costs them some sort of championship, and then they have a renewed rivalry going into WrestleMania 31.
Are you serious about this?
I'm dead serious.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I didn't know if this was, like, one of those goofy, like the Sheamus kind of things.
No. This is legitimate booking by Chris.
Okay. All right.
Does it sound like a joke to you?
It could go either way.
With Swagger, yes.
But I mean, like, yeah, but if you're throwing your hat over the wall, go for it. Yeah, this is, you know, pretty impressive booking.
You know I'm right.
But so we could. I could definitely see a rematch for them in October.
Yeah.
But you need at least two more Rusev feuds, maybe three, to fill out the time between now and WrestleMania.
Big Show? Yep. I mean, we're assuming Big Show is going to go after the...
Yeah, we've heard rumors of Big Show and Bork.
Right. But I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
Of course you are.
And there's other big guys that he could face.
There is.
I can't really think of all of them right now off the top of my head, but they're out there.
But like he's climbing the ladder to John Cena. John Cena's at the top of the ladder.
Right.
Specifically as the Marine character that he still is when it's convenient.
Right.
So like that's where he's climbing. So is he going to make it there?
So you think ultimately Rusev is going to go against Cena and Cena's going to kill him?
It's not the most unheard of.
No. I know, but it's still disappointing.
No, it is disappointing. I mean, but like this is, you know, like this could fizzle out at any time if like we make peace with Russia and Russia, like actual political tensions subside. You're banking on actual political tensions with Russia and the
Let's
real world.
Let's be honest, Americans are never going to trust Russia ever again. Like, we had that whole Cold War for 40 years. And, you know...
I mean, Kozlov was a face.
Yeah.
He had tea.
Yeah, but that was after, like, 2-3 years of being a boring heel.
All right. I mean, I'm predicting Rusev 2 here, but I don't know if I'm going to... I'm not willing to jump into the Rusev undefeated to WrestleMania camp.
Right.
But I will definitely pick Rusev for Night of Champions winner.
No, I mean, let's be honest. Like, you know, with all the tension between the U.S. and Russia over the past 50 years now, even longer.
Right.
This type of character is always going to work as a heel.
If an undefeated Rusev faces Jack Swagger at WrestleMania, I salute your prediction, good sir. I will say wizard at that point.
Yeah, you will. As if my prediction from last Royal Rumble wasn't enough.
That was good. I give you that one. Well,
because
done.
I said that, and it was just not really a big deal that I said it.
No.
And then it happened. I was like, yeah, take that, you haters.
Like, you called the year it was going to happen, the wrestler that was going to do it. Like, well done. Like, and that was like you saying, I was like, oh, that's cute. That'd be nice if that happened. Not going to happen. Whatever.
And it happened.
Good job for you.
All right, then.
So, I'm taking you seriously.
Okay. Like, all right.
But I'm not going to throw my hat over the wall with you.
Fair enough. Okay, it's not going to be a good match. I'm not expecting much out of the match itself.
No, I mean, it's... This is the kind of match, big guy versus big guy. If they give it the time and put a title in it, I can enjoy it. Like, I liked a lot of the Mark Henry versus Big Show stuff.
But just simply
in the middle,
America versus Russia.
Yeah, in the middle of the card, not as much time. We really just want to see John Cena fight Brock Lesnar again. It's going to be a rush job. It's not going to be that good to watch.
So I'm going to just give it 2 maths.
That's what I was going to give it.
Okay. Triple threat match for the Divas Championship. Paige, AJ, Nikki Bella. Still weird that they didn't include Brie in this, but I'm assuming that's just writings on the wall for a Brie coming
Brie
in
running,
to cost
yeah.
Nikki.
I mean, that's just kind of weird, because Brie's supposed to be the face, so...
Right, yeah. Or unless Brie is just going to be out there and then Nikki's going to provoke her or something like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Brie's doing guest commentary on this because...
Ooh, guest commentary segment on a pay-per-view. That feels gross.
I know it does, and I'm not condoning it, but it could happen.
No, it totally could happen.
Yeah.
Do you want to make a prediction?
Paige is probably going to keep it.
Okay, I was going to go AJ.
Okay.
Just because they need to, they can always have that rematch clause if they just kind of trade the belt back and forth. And they've been pretty, they've been booked as pretty even so far.
Right.
So, okay. Nobody says Nikki.
No, Lord, no.
It's not her feud.
But I could also see Nikki getting the belt and then using that to go into the storyline.
Yes, I could see that happening.
Now, of course, they would have to include Paige in some way because she would have her rematch clause, or WWE can just sweep that rematch thing under the window or under the rug and just forget about
it. As they do a good third of the time.
Yeah. So, it wouldn't be completely unheard of.
Yes.
There you go. I'll give it...
2 to 2.5.
Two and a half.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. I mean, it would be higher, but Nikki Bella is like -3 max.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, that means you give Paige versus AJ Lee an automatic 5.5 max.
I know what I said.
Next match is Dolph Ziggler champion versus The Miz for the IC belt.
Yeah.
I pick Ziggler because I'm always going to pick Ziggler.
Well, yeah, I'm never going to pick Miz.
Yeah.
Unless I think it's what's going to happen.
Fair enough. Don't let me rain on that parade.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
No, Dolph Ziggler's going to win.
But I'm expecting sort
of stunt double shenanigans will happen, of course.
But Ziggler has his own stunt double now.
He does.
He's got
R. Ziggler.
Rutherford Truth.
Rutherford Ziggler now.
Oh, sorry.
It's R. Ziggler now.
Right. Excuse me.
No, I'm excited because Dolph Ziggler's on the TV.
Again, like, how weird.
Main events.
How weird is it to see R. Truth without pants?
That's really weird.
Right?
I've never seen that man's legs before.
Never. I mean, not that he's, like, got abnormal legs or anything, but we've never seen it.
No, I've seen him dressed the exact same way for years.
Even as K-Quick.
Yeah. No, it's weird.
Yeah. So, both say Ziggler. I'm gonna give it 4 masks because you never know with Ziggler, and they had a decent... They're having decent matches in the past, so I have high hopes for it.
Yes.
And it still feels weird to say that about The Miz. So we're going to move on to the United States Championship, Sheamus versus Cesaro.
I go Cesaro.
Because Sheamus really isn't doing anything
with it. Sheamus isn't doing anything, and Cesaro...
Which is ironic, because Sheamus originally got it because Dean Ambrose wasn't doing anything with it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But Cesaro can, like, he's getting popular, and I also totally see, and this ties back into, I could totally see Rusev getting the United States Championship. As part of, like, the Rusev feud.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he could go against Sheamus as well, but I would much rather see a Cesaro versus Rusev match.
Right.
So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I'm going to give it... It's hard not to give this 4 maths, even though we hate Sheamus, but Cesaro seems to be able to get a good
match. I mean, Sheamus has been off the television enough that I'm not...
Totally sick of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and again, like, we, in the past couple Sheamus Cesaro, like, run-ins or whatever, they've had good matches.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not dreading this match.
Yeah.
Move on to the main event. Brock Lesnar, John Cena, WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Brock Lesnar better win this.
Yeah.
Like, better win this bad.
Yeah, it's still to the point where I'm, in my mind, I'm still, like, above the championship Brock Lesnar broke the streak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I still have that in my mind, to in the sense that they really don't need to have him lose just yet.
No, mm-hmm. I would be fine. I would be fine not, like, Brock Lesnar winning. I would be fine him not defending again until WrestleMania.
Yeah,
like just standing there holding the belt, laughing. I mean, I think he shouldn't. I think he should defend. Maybe I don't think he need, because I've never thought that the belt needed to be defended on a monthly basis.
Yeah, because then you'll get like a random rotation of guys versus the one champion. Or this oversaturation of a bunch of matches by the same couple people. Yeah. You know, you run that risk either way.
I mean, I've always felt 6 title defenses a year is plenty.
Right. At least have Brock Lesnar have a match. Survivor Series, Rumble, Mania. Because that would be every other pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But it would also be hitting the big ones.
Yeah.
You know. Which is why this time of year is so much better. Because you get the big pay-per-views every other pay-per-view. And in the spring and the summer, it's all of these other ones and then SummerSlam.
But, I mean,
it feels like it's more.
But see, I would actually have Brock Lesnar not defend at Royal Rumble because that runs the risk of the Rumble not closing out the show, which right. sprinkles a little bit of why I'm still upset about 2013.
Right.
Because I knew the Rumble wasn't going to close out the show the whole time.
Yeah.
Even though it should have. Because it's the Rumble at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but Brock Lesnar did have a match last year at Royal Rumble.
He did.
And it didn't close out the show.
He did.
So.
But Brock Lesnar now is a bigger deal than Brock Lesnar a year ago.
True. True.
So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I would like to see, like, at least, like I said, like, every other one, and then the pay-per-views that he's not defending at, it'll be, like, a number one contendership type
main event. That would be fine.
Right. Because that's kind of what we've always wanted. We wanted, you know, it becomes more about the chase to the championship rather than the championship itself and the guy who's not there all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Heyman, as great as a talker as he is, it's still better to have the guy there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Always. And so I don't know how much longer they can get away with it in sequentially.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, Paul Heyman's been doing it ever since he came back in the company.
Yeah.
You know, talking without Brock Lesnar was there. And he's done it fine. Mm-hmm. He's done an amazing job at it. But if you keep doing it on a consistent basis, you know, then it becomes kind of old and kind of repetitive and everyone kind of gets tired of it. You know, we've had breaks where he would, you know, be representing guys that are there every week, mm-hmm. you know. So, I don't know. But Brock Lesnar better win. I'm assuming it's going to be another good match.
Yeah.
I'm giving it 4.5.
Yeah.
Because
easy.
I just don't know how they're going to be able to top what they've done already.
Yeah. I mean, and John Cena should get more offense on this time.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if I, you know, as much as I loved 16 German suplexes,
right.
I don't want to see that match again.
Right.
Because if it did, I'd watch the network for $9.99.
Right.
So, but yeah.
But yeah, I'm all for a compelling match. That also leads to John Cena just getting decimated in the end.
Yes, exactly.
Gradually.
Exactly.
But yeah, it would be nice to see some sort of story growth.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Good card. Mm-hmm. A couple of titles, I'm excited about seeing them defended again.
Right.
Also, we have one less title this year, so that kind of helps.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but all around good things.
Yeah, I agree.
So, okay.
Yeah. I don't have any mail sack.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, as always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays, appropriate Sundays, have fun times tweets for all.
Mm-hmm. And we will be late tweeting Night of Champions this week.
Yes.
But I have good news. Chris got a Monday to Friday job, so we can watch pay-per-views live.
Yes.
The only problem is the second shift, and I won't be able to live tweet Raw anymore. But we'll work around that. We'll either get Joel or one of our trashy guys or Beardsley or someone to cover Twitter for us.
Yes.
So either way, fun times will be had.
On Twitter.
On Twitter. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Still the best way to find us.
Yep.
Listen to us on iTunes. Subscribe. Give us a rating or review on iTunes. All that kind of stuff helps us out.
5 stars.
Oh, and 5 stars.
I was gearing up for it, and I'm like, you didn't give me the cue. So, 5 stars.
I was waiting for you to do your part, man.
Okay.
Carry on.
If you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We also have a Facebook page. Sure. Just take a look at that. Just look up Class Ring Attire on Facebook. It'll be the only one.
Yeah.
I hope.
Otherwise, we will have to have some conversations with some people.
And just it's an easy way to find out about all the additional going-ons
yep.
with the podcast.
Podcasts and all things that we are associated with anything that we do.
Yeah.
We still need to put some pictures up from Cyrano.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So, if you have any general interest in Chris and Joel at all, follow Class Rig Attire on Twitter. Or on Twitter and Facebook. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Like a well-oiled machine. Huzzah.
Oh, why are we so bad at that still?